Sven Sundgaard, kind enough to join us. Best weatherman in town, hands down. Forecastissold.com/weather. Forecastissold.com/weather. And we should mention, Sven, from the top right here, the last time we chatted, 2 weeks ago, you were working on getting the Patreon and everything set up. It's all set up and going right now, right?
Yeah. So if you go to forecastissold.com/weather, right there at the top of that page are links to subscribe either through Patreon or Facebook through my fan page. And you get exclusive content, including the winter forecast, which I will either drop tonight or tomorrow.
Okay.
Almost finished.
Oh, okay.
Almost ready.
You've been working on this for a while.
Yeah, well, for several weeks. I mean, there a lot goes into it when you're trying to forecast 3 months and not just completely guess. It's an educated guess, of course, but yeah, some people just kind of like, it's going to be cold. Well, why? You
know? Well, that's or a real reach there whatever. For winter. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you, Farmers Almanac.
Exactly. So once again, I want you to go forecastissold.com/weather. There's ways for you to sign up, get the exclusive contract with content with Sven. And of course, the winter weather forecast coming out either later tonight or tomorrow.
It's only a few bucks a month. You know, come on.
I'm subscribed. I'm there, man.
No, I know you are.
Absolutely. I love it. It's everyone go subscribe. This is seriously, the nice thing about it is, okay, I like you get the weather apps on your phone and stuff. This is like my local weather app, and I love that. Because there's only so much those can do. This gives me all the local information. You want that with your weather. Sven has that. Once again, forecastissold.com/weather. You want to get signed up for that. All right, now.
And especially with all the snow coming up and stuff this winter, you're going to find that I dive in a lot more in depth. You'll see more of the models and what each one particularly means. So if you're, you know, love snow or hate snow or it affects you, it'll be very useful.
I just bought a new snowblower. So
thanks. You just jinxed it. Now it won't snow until February.
Well, this is why I brought it up. I want to fire it up and get it going here, but
do you want to wear it out?
I don't want to necessarily go to town. It's not looking for the Arctic, dunes of snow. We should mention before we get into the winter, we just got done with November and we got done with the meteorological autumn. And your last forecast, you mentioned that both of those were once again warmer than they have been.
Yeah. So, November was 2 degrees above normal, or 2.1 degrees actually, which is not as big of an anomaly as some of our other months. So it was a mild month. But I think when we have months, late fall or early winter, they can kind of evade our perception because temperatures are getting colder because it's getting darker. So we don't necessarily notice because obviously November is colder than October, which is colder than September. So when it's a couple degrees warmer than normal, I think it gets missed by a lot of people, but it was a mild month. And again, what's been bizarre this year is it's the consistent warmth. We didn't have a lot of crazy days. It wasn't in the 70s, for example, like it was for 5 different days last November. It was just that consistent warmth, which has been the very odd thing this year, where it's just consistently 5 degrees or so above the average highs. And of course, it was a very dry month. So that's the other thing. We continue the drought. Again, we don't necessarily perceive it because the sun angle is nil this time of year. So when you get 1/14 of an inch of rain, which we had our first night of winter, which is bizarre enough. It's still muddy out there because just nothing's evaporating. It's the relative humidity is high. The sun doesn't do like it does in June or July. So we may not notice, but when you look at the fall, actually, fall was drier than the summer when you look relative to normal precipitation amounts. Yeah. August saved us. I mean, July, we saw 21% of our average precipitation. So it was very dry. But then August, everyone remembers, we got a lot of rain in a couple of weeks, and then it just stopped again. So overall fall, we saw just a little more than half of our normal precipitation. And that's not good for trees and everything else that were already stressed because of the summer drought. To go into winter with a dry ground is bad news. But, yeah, it was the fourth warmest autumn on record.
Wow.
When you combine the fact that September, October, and November were all mild. October being the biggest difference from normal, but when you combine the three of them, speaking of, my subscriber stuff, I dive into a little bit more detail about you know, what are the top 10 warmest autumns mean for winter? There's more of a correlation with fall than there is summer temperatures, for example. So this is one of those little things that I just throw out there that you aren't going to get on my normal post.
Well, and I should mention, too, on the normal post, you did mention December. Of all the months, I believe you said September, December are the two fastest warming months. And I think December is December the fastest?
Yeah, in our recent 30-year normals, you know, so we were using the 1981 to 2010, and we just now are shifting to the 1991 to 2020 normals. Those are 2 months that had the biggest shift, and December by a lot. Yeah, the December that we're using now is 2 degrees warmer than the previous one, which is huge when you factor in that we're just changing one decade. We got rid of the 80s and added the 2010s. And that seems to be in line with, you know, I think a lot of people have perceived that it seems like winter is getting a later start, that Decembers are milder, and that many years were like, God, are we going to have a white Christmas? Are we going to have a white Christmas? When's it going to get cold? That's not just in our head. That is actually being shown in the data. And then that summer is lingering. So Septembers tend to be warm. And we've talked about a few times, 2 months only are colder than the previous 30 years. And that was February and April, which seems to line up with some years, not every year, but more often than it used to be, winter kind of lingers. And that's when we have these polar vortex disruptions like we had this last February. Yeah, it's interesting that even in the 30-year normals, we can see some of these interesting climate signals in specific months. But yeah, December is statistically becoming a much warmer month than it used to be.
You know, one of the things I like about your weather is as well that you're very clear that, you know, it's an imperfect science. You can only predict what you can predict, and you have to actually have it happen before it comes to fruition. And we talked back in September, we were wondering if we're going to get one of those big globules of cold that just shot down, and would this be the year we got hit with another one of those? And that was kind of speculation. We didn't quite know where things are going. But I've noticed on a lot of the weather maps that you're putting out, it seems like that globule of cold that comes from that Arctic area, it seems to have shifted eastward, and it seems like it's getting more Michigan over in that area. Am I crazy, or does it seem like that right now is where the target zone is for all these colder temperatures that are plunging down from the north?
Yeah, the recent upper-level pattern has been basically – not the full west, but like Alaska and the very western coast has been cooler and wetter than normal. And now we're seeing this, that naturally pushes warmth up out ahead of it, which we have been a beneficiary of the last couple of weeks. And then, you know, just imagine it's like a seesaw pattern. So if air is surging north in the Rockies and in the Midwest, then air is surging south on either side of that ridge. And so you get kind of these every other ridge trough, which is warm, cold pattern that is kind of rippling right into Europe too. And we've had an unusual, on the other side of that, an unusual blocking pattern that is showing up occasionally into Greenland, some very warm air. And we watch those for a couple of reasons. One is it can kind of clog up the patterns and, you know, keep us mild like we've been. But also now that we're heading into winter, we look for some of these to potentially disturb the polar vortex. And it might seem counterintuitive, but you want a strong polar vortex because that means it's spinning and the coldest air stays kind of bottled up close to the pole, stays in the Arctic. And when it's weak, it's easy to take a punch or two at it, which is, you know, some of this warm air surging from Greenland or Siberia or wherever it may be. And it can only take so many of those punches and it gets broken apart or wobbles off of the pole. And we saw that last year, shortly after New Year's.
Yeah.
It got really cold in Russia and Europe, and we were all kind of laughing. Oh, ha, ha, ha. We had a very warm January, and then it was our turn. So that's one of those, you don't want to see these unusual ridges of warmth far north, because that could spell doom for the polar vortex and us later in the winter. So we'll have to see. It's too soon to tell. Right now we have a good, strong polar vortex. So that's good news, but also pretty typical early in the winter. It's totally dark in the Arctic. It's getting colder and colder all the time. No sign of light there for a while. But you know, as these patterns, if they get too clogged up, that can be a factor.
I know we've been dry here, and we've, of course, heard about California. I saw some photos. Montana looks like they're having all sorts of fits with wildfires right now. And this doesn't seem like the wildfire season for Montana.
Yeah, it's not. But that's kind of the thing that we're seeing is extensions of wildfire seasons. And, you know, if you don't have the precipitation, and if you're not cooling off to the point that you should, you know, not only have we been warm, but Colorado, Montana has been even warmer compared to normal than we have this last month of November. So we've been a beneficiary of that, as I just mentioned. But overall, it's been kind of locked there. That's been the core of the warmth. And then we've been getting it occasionally. So that's why we haven't been as crazy warm when you look at compared to normal in November as we were in October. But it is there. And when it's warm this time of year, it usually means it's dry. And it was already dry. The whole West is in a multi-year drought. So while we think our one-year drought is bad, imagine multiple years. And then you have, forests and old-growth forests and all sorts of other factors at play there. And obviously places that are harder to reach, too, to fight fires.
If you look at your weather forecast that you do put up there on the YouTube, there looks like a chance of some snow coming through, at least two shots of snow over the next 7 days starting this weekend. Although you did say the last weather forecast yesterday, it was starting to track more north. Is that still the case at this point?
Yeah, it's kind of wobbling. The general trend for the Sunday system is probably just to our north. I still think we might squeeze out a little bit, especially if the timing changes. A couple of models are starting to shift the timing so that it might be maybe earlier in the morning Sunday or maybe even Sunday night on the other side of things. And we're in that time of year where, you know, if you can get it during the night when we're in a warm pattern, because we're going to be close to 40 still Sunday, then you have better odds of it being snow than rain or snow and better chances of getting it to stick. But the Sunday system for us in southern Minnesota isn't so much of an exciting thing yet. But what it is a sign of is, regardless of if we get all of these systems that are kind of lining up, the pattern is getting more active heading into next week. So that's encouraging, because we've been in this drought pattern. So just to get storms in our direction is a big deal. Of course, the other component of that is we need it to be cold enough for it to be in the form of snow. And that looks to be lining up too. We got a pretty potent chunk. So the polar vortex, as I mentioned, is strong, but it's taken a punch, and that's going to kind of dislodge a little bit of peripheral cold that'll be coming down towards us Monday, Tuesday. Tuesday looks like we may barely hit 20 degrees. So, you know, that's not bizarre for December, but for this year so far, that would be our coldest temperatures yet. Maybe even some single digit morning lows in the suburbs. So we're going to have, it looks like, the cold in place. And so to answer your question, it looks like maybe not one or two, but maybe there are three possible systems within the next 7-8 days that could be lined up towards our region. Now, again, do we get directly hit by all three? Unlikely, but at least the pattern's more active. So some encouraging news. If, you know, I know people are already starting to hear, I hear the rumbles of, oh, are we going to have a white Christmas? You know, it's still 3 weeks away. But that would be some encouraging news. And once you get snow on the ground, it's a lot easier to keep things cool than when you don't.
When you look at these storms now, first of all, this one that it was tracking north, that might get us a little bit more here. How much snow are we looking at possibly with each of these storms?
So the Sunday system for northern Minnesota, it does have the potential to drop half foot in some spots. I think generally it'll be, you know, a wide swath of 2 to 4, maybe a few 5-inch amounts. But there are going to be some spots that do see a half foot of snow. And in northeastern Minnesota, they have snow on the ground already, too. So it is really starting to look like winter up there, finally, you know, which up there it should. It is solidly winter normally at this point of the year for that part of the state. And then the two systems next week have real potential, too. I'd say in that range, too, of direct hits could be half foot amounts. So that's, you know, again, encouraging.
Okay.
So these are not clipper systems. These are legit systems that'll be affecting us, each of the three. But again, where do they exactly line up? And they're not going to all follow the same track.
But it does sound like you feel, and we're going to understand, we're forecasting here. But the likelihood of one of these is probably going to come through the metro.
Yeah, I think a week from now we're going to be looking at white ground.
Okay.
I think the odds are, at least one of those hits us. And then, again, can we keep it cold enough? But the models really are all over the place right now. I don't normally throw out wild numbers. But, for example, the European model gives us a total snowfall for the next 7 to 10 days of 2 inches.
Okay.
Canadian, again, don't count on that. I'm just giving you the crazy range that we're seeing right now. The Canadian model in the next 7 to 10 days gives us a total of 18 inches of snow. So that's what we're working with right now. And every second you go further out is less and less accurate, more and more variable. We're just in that time of year, it's the start of the winter season. And things can go really in any direction. It is a fascinating time of year because it is solidly a winter month. But like, for example, yesterday, the 1st of December, the record high is 68 degrees set back in 1998. So it can still get very warm. But as we know, it can be very cold. Easily we can have sub-zero temperatures at this point in the season. And so storm tracks literally can be anything and everything in between. So it's an exciting time of year. The dead of winter actually gets kind of boring around here.
it does. It's more more just looking at the pretty snow at that point from inside.
Icy snow.
And you already, on one of your forecasts, you were saying it was looking like we might warm back up into the 40s again. Is that still a possibility later next week?
Yeah, that's looking more towards the middle of the month. So we're looking more at the week after next. So that's getting into the long range, but it's entirely dependent on do we get these snowfalls? If the European model is right and we get the lower end, or we just get grazed by these three systems and a lot of that can melt off, or even half of it, then it's going to be a lot easier to warm up. And if this pattern that we've been in just persists, even if we do get snow, does this warmth push in again? That could be a big problem. So, the American model, for example, I showed yesterday, had us almost close to 50 degrees again in the middle of the month. So that is not good if you want a white Christmas.
All right. So basically, you're telling me I need to get my Christmas lights out of my house this weekend.
Basically.
Saturday.
Yeah. It'll be a good week. Yeah, because we've got another day in the 40s yet tomorrow. And it will be above freezing both Saturday and Sunday for highs. So, yeah, you're procrastinating on that front. Better to do it now.
All right. So, and for everyone else, obviously we got a little variance here. We'll find out more about Sunday. Obviously, I'll post Sven's weather forecast from YouTube. But once again, I want to encourage you, go to forecastissold.com/weather and sign up for the Patreon. You can sign up on Facebook, subscribe. You'll get the full weather forecast. You get the full weather, the winter weather breakdown as well coming down in the next 24 hours or so. I highly recommend it. It's great information for you. Forecastissold.com/weather. Make sure you sign up or go to Patreon and search for Sven there and you'll find him and get signed up on that one. Sven, thank you very much. I appreciate it, my friend.
You bet. Have a good weekend.